So this is a story about Christmas in my family. And we don't have a whole lot of holiday traditions. We have three. One is that we always put out the same neon Kmart tablecloth for birthdays. The second is we always go to my grandma's house in August. And the third is we always go to the same steakhouse on Christmas Eve for dinner. Always the same waiter, Tom. He serves us, usually wearing the same candy cane tie. Very nice guy. My dad always has a few too many scotches. And then we go home. And this is a story about how I kind of ruined one of those traditions. And I think you can figure out which one it is. But in order to talk about this Christmas, I have to rewind a little bit to October of 2012, when I met who I thought was my soulmate. And I didn't expect to meet Charlie. He had kind of crashed this little reunion I was planning with some of my friends from college. And he was the kind of guy who could do math equations in his head, but really couldn't tell you what day of the week it was. Totally my type. So and he was from Montana, and we met totally by happenstance. I was living in Maine that fall, and we kept up a correspondence. We talked through email and Skype, and if any of you have corresponded with someone for a long time over email and Skype, it's really easy to fall in love. And that's because you can kind of present your best self, right? And they can present their best self, and you can edit emails, which is great, a lot less pressure than conversation. But around Thanksgiving, so about a month and a half into our communication, I decided that I wanted to see him again. So I said, hey, I'm going to fly out to Montana to see you. And he said, no, don't fly to see me in Montana. Let's both go somewhere we've never been before. Let's go to Seattle. And I said, okay. So, you know, always one for an adventure. I booked a ticket, a flight to Seattle, and the return flight was on Christmas Eve. And I thought, it'll be fine. I'll get home in time. We'll be able to make it to the butcher block. I'll get my salad because I'm a vegetarian, but it doesn't matter. So I made Charlie promise me. I'm like, listen, when we get to Seattle, I better see you in the airport waiting for me. He's like, oh, yeah, of course, I'll be there. So I get to the airport, and he is not waiting for me. And I think to myself, I just flew across the country to meet someone I have known for 8 hours. And I'm also going to ruin 33% of the Lutz family holiday traditions. This is great. Definitely worth it. But it turns out he had been in a car accident on his way from Montana, driving in the snow through the mountains, right? So he spent all night in a truck stop and drove starting at 1 o'clock the next morning, and he met me at our hostel in Seattle, and we had this whirlwind romance, right? 10 days in our own blissful little bubble, falling in love, gallivanting around the Pacific Northwest in the middle of December, which, surprisingly, is not the number one tourist destination. Very cold and rainy. And by the time we said goodbye, I was just high on this feeling of falling in love, right? He was everything I imagined he would be through emails and more. And because I was kind of high on this feeling of love, right, my plane touched down in Burlington, and I got off my flight. It was around dinner time, 6, 6:30, and my parents were waiting for me. There was my mom, there was my dad, and for the first time, I kind of looked at my dad, and I saw that he had gotten a lot older since the last time I had seen him, which was really only a few weeks earlier at Thanksgiving. And he was walking with a cane, and, you know, he had been struggling a lot with mental health issues. And for some reason, in that moment, I kind of saw him as a person who was getting sick. And I think it was because I had had that 10 days of magic, you know, absurdity with Charlie, that I was able to really see my dad in a new light and have patience with him. And of course, on the ride home, I realized not only have I ruined our tradition of not going to the steakhouse on Christmas Eve, I also forgot to buy my family Christmas presents. Yeah, this story does not paint me in a very flattering light. But we get home and we do our Christmas Eve dinner a little more subdued at home. We all go to bed, and the next morning we wake up and we open presents, or I guess my family opened IOUs from me. But I promised all of them that when I got back to Maine, I would mail them their presents as soon as possible, or as soon as I got them. And the last present I opened was from my mom, who's sitting in the back, and it was a little yellow pouch in the shape of a banana, and it was the game Bananagrams. And if any of you have ever played Bananagrams, you know it's very fast-paced, very competitive. It's like Scrabble. You build your own crossword. And my dad was never really one for board games unless they involved world domination and lasted for 5 days. But I looked at him and I said, I see you've all played Risk as well. or Settlers of Catan. But I looked at my dad, who normally I kind of did my best to avoid, very different opinions politically, very hard to have a conversation. But I kept thinking about that moment the night before in the airport when he was walking with his cane, and I thought, here's my dad, and I owe it to him to be patient and to have this moment and to play this game. And I guess my Christmas present to him was that I didn't keep score. But I said, you know what, let's help each other. Let's build words together. Let's just have fun. Let's just play a fun game. So we played Bananagrams at my dining room table, and it just felt very sweet, and it was the first time we really connected as people in a long time, in years. And I flew out back to Maine on New Year's Day, gave my dad a hug, said, I love you, told my mom I loved her, and I said, of course, I'll mail my presents as soon as I get back. Well, I was working at a school at the time, and, you know, the school year picked up again, and things got really busy, and I never ended up getting my family Christmas presents because I always figured I would have time. You know, I'll find the perfect present, right? But it turns out I didn't really have time because a few days before Valentine's Day, I got a call from my mom saying that my dad had lost his battle with mental illness and he had taken his life. And I felt an incredible amount of guilt and shame thinking about that tradition, right? That we hadn't had. That was our last Christmas together. The gifts I hadn't bought. But then I remembered, no, we spent time together. And even though from the outside looking in, a little game of Bananagrams doesn't seem like a big deal, right? It's something really small. But those are the moments that the holidays are really about. It's not about presents. In some ways, it's not even really about tradition. It's about spending time with someone and loving them and being patient and forgiving them and connecting. And I guess, moving forward, when I think to myself, oh, I'll have time, I always catch that little voice in the back of my head and think, no, you might not have time. Send that card, buy that present, say I love you, book that trip across the country, you know? And never, ever undervalue the time that you're spending with loved ones. Thank you.